My name is Ian. If you're, like we said earlier, if you're new among us, welcome. We really appreciate you visiting us. We hope you find this place to be a place of warmth and love and refuge. We're working our way through the book of Psalms. We're actually starting book two. For those of you who are not familiar, the book of Psalms has five different books. We're in book two this morning. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. Our topic this morning is dealing with depression. Here's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that we have a God who understands the human condition. You know, if you look at a different, let's just say, holy writings, most of what you're going to find is, this is what I want you to do, and you better do it. But I love the Bible because we have a God who totally understands how broken and bruised and in need we are, and he ministers to that need. It's not a side issue when we're hurting. It's a big focus for him. So this morning we're going to be in Psalm. Actually, we're going to be in two Psalms, but it really should be one. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. I'm going to ask Esther to come on up to read for us. There's Esther, and I'll let her do the introductions.
Good morning, church. My name is Esther Watanabe Bardella. It's how they say it in Brazil. So I'm, despite my Asian look, I'm a Brazilian. I'm a Japanese descendant, a third generation. And I don't know how to speak Japanese, sorry. But Bardella comes from my husband, Otton Bardella, who plays bass guitar in the group of music. And we have a son, Nathan, or Nathan in Portuguese. He's 5 years old, and he's with us today, this morning. He wants to stay with us. Our story is quite long, so I will try to really be synthetic and try to not to be long, because it would take more than just one morning. I came from a family of Japanese Christians. They became believers in Brazil. They were like Buddhists or Shintoists, something like that, back in Japan. So my grandparents, they all came from Japan, and they, after a few rushes in their lives, they became believers in God due to Japanese missionaries that came back then in the early 20th century to Brazil, knowing all how many Japanese people were traveling to Brazil pursuing a new life, because Japanese at that time was broken. Mm-hmm. That's how we have more Japanese Christians now, because of those missionaries that mm-hmm. came to America, to the South America. Mm-hmm. This is my part story, my autumn story, that he's believed like he's since his childhood too. His mother and grandmother became believers too, and then he, since childhood, he learned to love Jesus too. Mm-hmm. Then we had a really funny beginning story. If you want to know, we can sit down and tell it. But last week, on this Thursday, we celebrate our 15th anniversary of wedding. So it's crystal, something like that. And we were dealing with a lot of up and downs in our lives with Jesus and in our Christianity and, all the mundane lives too. We came from Brazil to pursue a better life, obviously. Brazil is with a really troubled now, and we really are with broken hearts with that. Mm-hmm. But I would say that knowing that we could find a church here was really a blessing for us, and you just across the street to find it, because we're living here near Bayville Mall, and to find out that a church that resonates to our own hearts towards God was really a blessing. Amen. And what else I could say? Oh, I was an architect in Brazil. I'm studying in college now here in the same field. Otton is a civil engineer with a PMP, and he's looking for a job. And then we'll see if we can have some more time here. We don't know how long God plans for us to be living here in Canada. But so far, we are really enjoying to have so many Christian friends and so many brothers and sisters that helps us on this trip here in Canada.
Amen.
So let's start reading. I try to. Psalm 42. As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. Tears for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While all day long people say to me, where is your God? I remember this as I pour out my heart. How I walked with many, leading the festive procession of the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. I'm deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan, the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your billows have swept over me. The Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life.
Amen.
I will say to God, my rock, why have you forsaken me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? My adversaries taunt me, as if crushing my bones, while all day long they say to me, where is your God? Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God.
Amen.
43. Vindicate me, God, and defend my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? Send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then I will come to the altar of God, to God my greatest joy. I will praise you with the lyre, God my God. Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Esther. As I mentioned earlier, I love the honesty of our Bible. God does not hide the real condition of our hearts. And as you heard Esther speaking here, you realize how many times in this psalm it's using the word depressed. This confession, I am deeply depressed. But it's very interesting, if you look at the beginning of this psalm, it says, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you. Has anybody ever sung that song? As a deer pant. Yeah, right. Right. And most of us are like, yeah, that's what we want to be. That's what we want to be. And we have no clue what the context of that is. And so here we see a real seeking, diligent spirit, someone who's longing for God. As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? So this is a real seeking person, someone who really is chasing after God. And then right after that, we start to see tears. Day and night, night and day. I've got people who are asking me, where is your God? And then you've got this chorus that comes up three times. Why am I so depressed? Why am I so depressed? And so we almost have this contradiction because we're thinking, here's a seeking Christian. Here's a person who's genuinely saved, really chasing after God, and yet they're saying, I'm depressed. Does that make sense? And, you know, to many of us, when we start to read this, we might just say, oh, you know, let me just skip over to Psalm 44 because this doesn't really apply to me. And we wanted to make sure we hit this morning. I hope you're not shocked that God addresses this idea and this condition of depression. Because, you know, just because you are a Christian does not mean that you're immune to either episodes of depression or long seasons of depression. Did you know, these are conservative numbers, 10% of Canadians have either depression or anxiety. Do you understand what that means for this room? 20 of you right now. 20 people in this room are either in a state of depression, in a season of depression, or you're anxious, your anxiety is just paralyzing you in some way. This is not an uncommon experience, and it's not an uncommon experience for Christians. Let me give you a couple of examples of what we've seen of, I'm going to throw out some names. You're not going to see any pictures. How many of you are familiar with an actor named Robin Williams? Robin Williams was the liveliest of people that you're ever going to find, and Robin Williams was suffering with depression. And so depression doesn't always look the way you think it looks. It's not the person who's crawled up necessarily in the corner with their head in their knees. It can be someone like a Robin Williams who's full of life, and the full of life may be the masking of the issue that's going on inside. And eventually, Robin Williams couldn't take it anymore, and Robin Williams took his life. And that was very similar to Heath Ledger, who was in one of the Batman movies. Was it Batman? Yes. Movies a while ago. He was the Joker, and he could not handle it. And at 28 years old, overdosed, and a lot had to do with his depression. There are celebrities who deal with depression, athletes who deal with depression. Did you know Serena Williams, the top women's tennis player in the world, struggles with depression? Did you know that Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, for Moana friends, you know, people who like Moana, he's the singing, whatever he was. He also struggles with depression. And for our younger generation, Demi Lovato also struggles with depression. We should not then think, maybe Christians are immune to this. No, we're not. We're in the same place. There's no segment of our population that is exempt. And here's a quote from Thomas Griffith Lewis. I think is very, very helpful for us. Psalms provide a way to talk about, think about, and most importantly, pray about the deep distress of depression. Praying the Psalms helps heal the spiritual hurt of depression. Aren't you glad you have a book available to you that deals with this? I am. I'm so, so thankful that we have this. Let me give you, can we just go back to the verses for a second? Because look what it says about the tears. Tears are my food day and night. And then you've got this kind of introspection, which you start to see in verse 5, if you could pop forward to that one for me. Look at this. Why am I so depressed? This is a person, how many of you talk to yourself? Come on, be honest. Come on. All right, we're starting to find a little bit of honesty out there. It's okay. It's okay to talk to yourself. Sometimes it's like, come on, get yourself going. It's okay. This is what the psalmist is doing. Look what he's saying. He's saying, why am I so depressed? And of course, I'm saying it in a particular tone, but he may not have been saying that way at all. He may have been saying, why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? And then look at what he's saying to himself. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. This is positive self-counseling. Telling yourself, cry out to God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God. I wanted to read for you. I'm going to be very honest with you. I have almost zero experience in what I'm speaking to you today, and that's why I'm drawing a lot from other people's testimonies to help fill this out for you. So I'm going to read to you a couple of testimonies that I feel should give you some insight. You know, because there's people in this room, you're like me, you've never experienced depression at all. There are other people in this room who know very well what a long season of depression is about, and there are others here who are maybe about to go into a season of depression. This young lady is a professional photographer. She says, I battle depression, but not just the kind that puts me in a bad mood from time to time. No, it's the kind that led me to create a plan to end my life. The kind that has wreaked havoc on my marriage and brought me to the point where I tried to drink myself to oblivion. The kind that can kill you. Another young lady, an NYU grad student, said, 2 months ago I was hospitalized in a psych ward for a week. I've come to terms with the fact that I'll most likely deal with depression my whole life. And I finally understood that depression isn't a death sentence. The hospital saved my life when it was in danger. Medicine and God are working together to save it every day. It is possible to survive depression. And then, so graciously, one of our members here at CIT who is struggling with depression, I reached out this week, and the person was gracious enough to just write a few words to let us know what they go through. Person says, my struggle with depression began in my early 20s. I remember experiencing waves of fatigue that I never really knew the source of. Several years later, I was diagnosed with depression, and that's when the real journey began. It was a relief knowing what was wrong with me, but it turns out to be an issue that has plagued me my whole life. It culminated in a suicide attempt when I was 27 years old. Although this may sound hopeless, that suicide attempt actually set me on the road to recovery. I realized that night, as death was about to seize my soul, that I truly wanted to live. Even if I felt tired or sad or hopeless, I still wanted to live. Several years of therapy and different medications followed that day, and the journey is still not over. I'm not sure I ever will be 100%. I'm not even sure it matters anymore. What matters the most is that I am alive. That I am alive. I am still fighting, and I think I always will. As for God's part in this journey, I could give you a cliche answer, but it would be false. God continues to speak to me, and His communication is often a form of solace to me. It doesn't really matter what He is communicating as long as He speaks. Brothers and sisters, we cannot, some of us, as I said, we are struggling with depression. And some of us have a spouse who is dealing with depression. I remember a number of years ago when Deb's mom passed away, she went through a very difficult period. Her mom was so close to her, and as her husband, it was very, very difficult for me because I just didn't know what to do. And didn't matter what I said, how you know, do whatever, it's just hard to know what to do. And so part of the reason why we felt to go through this morning is to reach out and support those who are struggling with depression. Reach out and support and encourage those who are helping those and supporting those who have depression. It could be your spouse. It could be a friend. It could be your child. Any one of those. The symptoms we've seen, the tears, the introspection, the causes in this psalm, it's like he's being persecuted. And he's, you know, as he's being persecuted, he's crying out to God and he's saying, God, where are you? The friends are saying, where is your God? And this is going on all the time. And interestingly, in the second stanza, we have this thought, I'm so far from God. I'm so far from God. It's like this thought that he's in the north, like he's in the Jordan region and he's far away from God. And you know what? Sometimes when we are depressed, that is how we feel. We feel very, very far away from God. And then, you know, you've got this kind of contrast that the person's mentioning. He says, you know, I remember this as I pour out my soul, how I walked with many, leading the festive procession. So, like, here's a person that is in this experience of depression, and they're remembering back to when, oh, the joyful, praising, wonderful times. And there's such a massive difference that the person is having difficulty reconciling them. So the persecution can be the issue, can be the cause. Feeling far away from God can be the cause. Contrasting the highs and the lows can kind of make things maybe worse. But let's just be honest, we know there's things like chemical imbalance in the brain. It's a physiological issue that we're dealing with here. And that's why I was so thankful that the sister that, you know, I quoted earlier, she mentioned how medication and God, if you are a person who is struggling with depression, do not walk away from what God has provided for you in terms of the doctors and what we know and medications that help. I have a brother-in-law who is depressed, and he told himself, God has healed me. This was when he was feeling good because he'd been on his medication. He walked away from his medication. For a few days, he was okay. And he kept telling himself, God has healed me. God has healed me. After a week, he was a mess. God has given us medications that can help us. And I know it's a kind of a slippery slope sometimes with medications. I'm on medication myself. I hate the idea that I'm on it. But if it helps you, you must stay on it. If it helps you to function well, I think you need to stay on it. Please do not get this notion that, you know, now that I'm a Christian, God is going to heal me. Well, God may not heal you. Don't walk away from the help that God is giving you. You know, I would say there's other things as well. Depression can just be brought on by unclear things. Like, you read enough stories about people who deal with depression, and you realize they don't know. They don't know what brought it on. It can also be circumstantial things. Like, you think about, you know, you go through some catastrophic situation. You think about what's going on in Mexico right now. Why do you, you know, and other places where there's hurricanes, those are catastrophic disasters. It's going to affect you. And that's why, of course, they bring in counselors. I wanted to bring something up this morning, and I just want to make sure that I'm addressing youth right now. I'm going to talk about young people, but I want to caution our parents of our young people. Please do not go to the extreme on what I'm about to bring up. A study from the United Kingdom, 10,000 young people were studied. Girls 14 years and older, 25% show signs of depression. Brothers and sisters, we have to pay attention to our young people. Pay attention to what is going on in our own home. The same study found 10% of boys. And this is basically what the girls put it down to. Number one, school stress. Number two, these are in no particular order, body image issues. Number three, bullying. Number four, social media pressures. Social media pressures. And here's an interesting point. The more time that teenagers spend looking at screens, the more likely they are to report symptoms of depression. So I want to show you something. We have these marvelous things in our pockets and in our wherever, smartphones. You know, something happened in 2012. And at that point, teenage depression, teenage anxiety, and teenage suicide started to skyrocket. It went off the charts. The people have no idea what's going on. And then now researchers are putting it together. 2012 is the year that smartphones, in proportion to the population, surpassed 50%. The more smartphones we have in teenagers' hands, the higher depression rates, the higher suicide rates, the higher anxiety rates. Young people, be careful with your phones. Parents, be aware of how often your child is on their phone. Don't just let them have screen time just because you're busy. You must be involved in their life. Let me come to social media. This is why it hits girls the most. When they post a picture on Instagram or Facebook, I don't want to just say this is a girl issue. This is a growing issue all over, but it's especially with our girls. They post something on social media, and then what happens is they're waiting for the likes. Don't laugh. This is real. This is what is causing your children to be driven into depression. You know, to the older generation, we're like, what's the issue? But at that tender age where they're figuring out who they are and their identity and everything else, those likes mean something. And when they don't get as many likes as their friend, that causes them issues. It's time. Parents, wake up. It's not benign. It's not just, you know, it's just not this thing. Oh, it's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's Snapchat. All these things are wonderful ways to, you know, keep in contact with each other. But be aware, these can have devastating effects on your children. Here's three things we as Christians should know about depression and anxiety. Number one, depression is not a character defect. It is not a spiritual disorder. It is not an emotional dysfunction. And chief of all, it's not a choice. Depression is not a choice. And depression is not a demonic attack. If you know somebody who is struggling with depression, please minister to them, help them. Don't go to them and put your hand on them and say, let me cast out that demon. And I'm being very serious. That is not what that person needs. That person needs your care. Mental illness, number two, mental illness is not a sin. You know, if you look at mental illness as some kind of sin, you can prevent them getting the real help that they need. Look, I'm speaking from experience here. My son, in his grade 11 year, had an anxiety disorder that totally wiped out his grade 11 year. He could not go to school. He stayed in our basement and didn't move. I know what I'm talking about. And what was the greatest struggle for me? I'm not talking for Deb. What was the greatest struggle for me? The negative stigma that was attached to mental illness. That's real. People don't, you know, if I've got a broken arm, there's no issue. People get it. Oh, you know, it'll get better. When my mind is not functioning as it should function, people think, oh, you're crazy. You should be over there. There's a negative stigma that is attached. So let's not just give, and that kind of leads right into the third one. Let's not just give these simple answers. Oh, it's a sin. Let me just pray for you. Number three says, God's word is full of wisdom and encouragement for those suffering with depression and anxiety disorders, but it does not come in one verse doses. When somebody is struggling with an issue, please do not say things like, be anxious in nothing. They don't need your little, you know, let me quote the Bible for you and, you know, just throw this thing. And, you know, here's another one. Don't worry about your life. This can convince a person in the worst throes of their illness that they're not obeying God. Like, think about what you just did. They're already struggling with something, and then we just say to them, oh, you shouldn't be anxious, but I am anxious. You shouldn't be anxious, but I am anxious. Now they think, not only am I depressed, now I feel like I'm not obeying God. You made the situation worse. Anyway, let's look at hope. Sorry, I mean, I didn't ask to give this message. I'll be very, very honest with you. I'm thankful we get to give this message. We need to see what is going on in our brothers and sisters. And we need to know how to minister to them because God is ministering. Iman, could you bring up the chorus for me again? Verse 5, verse 11, either one of those is fine. Look at this. Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. For I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. If you are facing difficulties that we're talking about this morning, put your hope in God. That's where your hope should lie. Cry out to God. It's very interesting in this psalm because, you know, in the very first stanza, the first four verses and then the chorus, you know, you see this, the person recognizes their condition. They recognize something is wrong. They, you know, start to speak it out. They even start to talk about it. And most often, you know how it is with us, when we've got something going on, the people that are closest to us, we are going to talk to them. And that's great. You need to talk about the situation. But don't just leave it there. The second stanza begins just, okay, look at deep calls to deep. So look at the deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. This is the person saying, God, I'm feeling those waterfalls. I'm under it. But I'm crying out to you. All your breakers and billows have swept over me. The Lord will send his faithful love. By day, his song will be with me in the night. Brothers and sisters, if you're struggling with any kind of anxiety, any kind of depression, keep crying out to God. Don't just stay in the complaining about it. Begin to cry out to God. He is your true, true, true hope. And the third step is interesting because so we go from recognizing our condition to raising the complaint to God, which is good. And then the third stanza is just an outright prayer. God, vindicate me, rescue me, deliver me, those kinds of things. This is what we should be doing, right? Just really crying out to God. I'm looking at my time. I'm wondering what to share. I'd like to share a little more on this, specifically those of us who are walking through depression. And again, I'm saying this not just to them, but to those of us who have a spouse who needs support. I'm saying this to those of you who have friends who need support, or a child who needs support. So keep these kinds of things in mind. Christians, if you're walking through depression, just know this, you are not alone. You're not alone. Here's a very interesting testimony. Again, from a person struggling with depression. When I'm depressed, I can't read God's promises. I'm just not in that state of mind where I can read God's promises. It hurts too much. But in the Bible, I find friends in the Psalms. I find friends in the Psalms. Psalm 42, 43, Psalm 23, Psalm 34, Psalm 37, Psalm 130. All very good Psalms that you can just use to speak out to God. The Bible gives many examples of people experiencing depression and darkness. God isn't angered by your honest words. He actually deems them holy. God wants our relationships with Him to be authentic. His mercy reigns even in our brokenness. Amen?
Amen.
Be honest with God. Cry out to God. Help those that need your support. Second point would be this. God's love and faithfulness are never dependent on us. You know how it is sometimes when we think, well, I haven't been very good, therefore God's love changes. That's a falsehood. God's love is consistent, always, never changes. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you've been thinking, God still loves you. So let me just read this for you. Depression makes it hard to choose, quote, the right Christian things. I didn't usually trust God. So that's the right thing to do, right? I didn't usually trust God. I didn't make a gratitude list. I didn't even recite prayers and scripture. God taught me the most valuable lesson. His love for me is solely dependent on His character, grace, and goodness. That's it. And a very valuable point, I cannot skip over this. Pain doesn't have to be wasted. Another testimony. As I was healing from a season of deep depression and anxiety, I got to sit next to a young woman who was in the thick of it. I listened. I offered my story. Tears streamed down her face as she whispered 1,000, "Me too." I put my arm around this woman and prayed for the things I myself had needed just a few months before. Ultimately, God will always use us to bring hope to others who are hurting because we've been where they are and made it to the other side. Hope means the most when it comes stumbling out of dark places. I'm going to read that again. Hope means the most when it comes stumbling out of dark places. Just because you are going through something difficult does not mean that your ministering is over. God will bring you in time. God will bring you to somebody else who you can minister to. I want to leave you with a thought. Where do we kind of go from here? As we were preparing for this message, of course, we did lots of research as we usually do. And one of the things that we came across was one particular person has had a look at 444 different studies of people with depression, anxiety, things like this. Here's the bottom line for this person. Being in relationship with God makes a difference. Yes, you may be going through these things, but being in relationship with God makes a difference. People of faith are less likely to get depressed. Doesn't mean they don't, but they're less likely to get depressed. People with no religious affiliation have an elevated risk of depression. And finally, people with faith bounce back more quickly from depression. Being in relationship with God makes a difference. What you see in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 is a person who is in relationship with God and is looking for God to make the difference. You're not going to work this through on your own. Commune with God, fellowship with God, pray to God, have others help you to pray out to God. There's a quote from Harold Koning. I'll probably end with this. Religious belief and practices. This is praying, reading your Bible, attending church regularly. Help people cope better with stressful life circumstances. Give meaning and hope and surround people with depression with a supportive community. If you're depressed, tell someone. If you're depressed or having difficulties, tell God. And if you're going through these kinds of difficulties, make sure you surround yourself with the kind of people who can really support you. Can I give you one last piece of advice that I feel is really, really helpful? Because it's for those of us who are not dealing with the depression, but maybe know people who are. What is important? Your presence. Your friend doesn't need solutions, advice, or motivational speeches. She needs someone to sit next to her and hold her while she cries. He needs someone to ask him questions and try to understand what he's going through. You could ask your friend, "How are you?" But a better question would be, "How is today?" Send a text. Check in often. Pray for and with them if he feels okay with that. So that's number one, your presence. Number two, your care for their physical needs. Depression is a physiological, not just a psychological issue. I'll never forget when my friends Nicole and Scott came bounding into my apartment with fresh flowers and home-cooked chicken tacos. How spiritual is that? So spiritual. Way more spiritual than some of us are. They didn't ask if my husband and I needed dinner. They just brought it in. And they said, "You don't want to cook when things are sucky." That's fair. Get your friend out of the house for a walk. Invite him to join you in something you would be doing anyway. The third point. So the first point is your presence. Second point is your care for their physical needs. And the third point is your patience. The voice in your friend's head telling him what he ought to do more of and be more of is probably part of what caused the depression in the first place. He needs your gentle reminder that even in his doing nothing at all, he is loved by and perfectly accepted to Jesus. Loving a depressed person is draining and demanding. There was no quick, easy fix for me, and my husband often felt helpless. So remember to extend grace to yourself. You need safe friends to help you process your own feelings. And this is often the case, you know, just when my mom was with us for the final year of her life, she was battling her cancer. She needed help. The mistake that Deb and I made, we didn't get help. So we were hurting as she was hurting. If you're helping someone who is struggling in these areas we talked about today, make sure you yourself are getting filled with grace, full of strengthening. Amen? I hope this ministers to you this morning. Let me pray and then we will be done. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the honesty in your word. Thank you that you address difficult situations that we are facing. God, we love you. You know the human condition and you minister to us in it. God, we just want to pray for anybody here this morning who is dealing with issues of depression, dealing with issues of anxiety, that you would be their great source of hope and supply. God, we pray also that we could be a help in any way possible to them. God, we wouldn't turn a blind eye. We wouldn't just walk away. We would put ourselves in and minister to them the best that we can. God, thank you so much for your speaking to us this morning. We pray that you would continue to help each and every one of us in our journey with you. And we ask all of this in the wonderful healing name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Aren't you thankful for it? That's not so much. Yeah. It's just like, there's a way. There is a way, and God provides it. And the other thing is, if you need, I have a lot of resources that I gathered. If you feel that you need some help and you have the courage to come and talk to me, I would love to just pass those resources on to you. Okay? We'll be back again next week.